Okay, tonight's cover, we're going to start Masechet Pesachim, beginning of second parak. And before I start, I just give an introduction. So we're going to talk about, I just need some background. So we're going to talk about the concept of chametz. So we know in the Torah tells us we're not supposed to eat chametz, but the Torah also has other yisurim involved with the yisur chametz as well. So besides the fact that the Torah talks about Shivas Yamim Chametz Lo Sochel, we're not allowed to eat the chametz for the during the duration of Pesach, which is the Isur Kares, and that everybody agrees. But in addition to the Isur chametz during Pesach itself, there are other Isurim involved. So number one, there's an Isur of not to eat chametz Erev Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So there's a Mishnah later on, a three-way machlokes Tanayim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, not only when there's an Isur Doraisa not to eat chametz during Pesach itself, Rabbi Yehuda says there's an Isur Doraisa, there's a law of not eating chametz even Erev Pesach as well. And Rav Shimon disagrees. So there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon where there's a law Doraisa of eating chametz Erev Pesach or not. If you turn to the Gemara Chav Ches 28a, I'll read the Braisa. So the Gemara here quotes a Braisa, Ditanya, three lines from the bottom, Ditanya. Chametz, bein lefnei zmano, bein le'achar zmano, which means eating chametz before Pesach or even after Pesach. So Rabbi Yehuda holds as an Isur Doraisa not to eat chametz after Chatzos on Erev Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda said, everybody agrees as an Isur not to eat chametz during Pesach with the punishment of Karis. It's a Beferish Apasuk in the Chumash. And Rabbi Yehuda says even eating chametz after Pesach is an Isur Doraisa. And that's not a din of... We hold like Rav Shimon, who says it's a din Drabanan, chametz or Pesach, because a Jew owned chametz. For Rabbi Yehuda, any chametz that existed during Pesach, whether a Jew owned by a Jew, by Hefker, by a Goy, it doesn't make a difference. Any chametz that existed during Pesach becomes a Ma'achavas Asuras, that not only you're not allowed to eat it during Pesach, you're even not allowed to even eat it even after Pesach. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what I'm reading right now. So, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Bein lefnei zmano, bein l'achar zmano, over alav b'lav, betog zmano, and if you do it, eating chametz during Pesach, over alav b'lav v'kares, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the psak of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, chametz lefnei zmano l'achar zmano, in over alav. Midoraisa, there is no Easter of eating chametz Erev Pesach, and there's no Easter of eating chametz after Pesach. And according to Rav Shimon, the whole din of eating chametz Shavuot Pesach is a knas de Rabbanan if it was owned by a Jew. And if it was owned by a Goy, it's not a problem. We paskin like Rav Shimon. Togs mana over alav belav ubekaris. Mishasha aser b'achil aser b'ana aser natana kam. Rav Yossi Glili omer tam al atzmachach hei chametz aser b'ana. So Rav Yossi Glili says chametz is muter b'ana. So we paskin basically like Rav Shimon, which means chametz Shavuot Pesach, there is no Isur Doraisa on the Rabbanan. What is complicated, because the Rambam happens to paskin, he makes a split psak, and the Rambam says that there is an Isur of eating chametz Erev Pesach like Rabbi Yehuda. So regarding Erev Pesach, he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. And Lagabe after Pesach paskins like Rav Shimon. So he makes a split psak, and the Raiva disagrees with the Rambam. He doesn't like the Rambam's split psak in this opinion. But the Rambam happens to make such a psak. So one question is there an Isur of eating chametz Erev Pesach? Machlokes Tanayim. Rabbi Yehuda says yes. And Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? And in fact, it would even be Malkus. There's a, it's a law. If you do Maisa, if you eat, it's a Maisa, so you get Malkus. Okay, so one question is there a din of eating chametz? Okay, the next question is, what about possessing chametz? So we know the pasuk says, lo yiralecha soar b'kol bateyam, you're not allowed to see chametz, lo yimatze chametz, and you're not allowed to own chametz. So you cannot see the chametz, your chametz, lo yiralecha shelach, the Gemara darshins, your chametz, and also you're not allowed to possess chametz. Okay, so what are the parameters of this lav, or these lavin, by Rabbi Matzah? So, do they apply on Erev Pesach? So this is also a machlokes rishoni. The Ravid says explicitly, there is no Isur Daraisa by Rabbi Yama. It's very simple, because if you look at the Chumash, it says Shivas Yamim. So since it says Shivas Yamim, it clearly implies that the Isur of Chametz of by Rabbi Matz is only during Pesach itself. That's what the Chumash says. Okay, Achilai Tojiz and Machlokis Tanayim. So the Ravid doesn't paskin. The Ravid thinks we should paskin like Rav Shimon as well. But that's already a debatable question. You can't tell me it's a pasuk in the Chumash in the Torah, because it's a machlokas haradashin, the pasuk in Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon. But regarding the din of by Rabbi Matze, Ravid says, what do you want? I'll read you the Ravid in a second. The Ravid says, like, what do you want? It's a pasuk in the Chumash. It says Shivas Yamim. So how can you possibly say there's a din of by Rabbi Matze, Erev Pesach? It's not what, it's against what the Chumash says. The Rambam, and well, let's read the words of the Rambam. It's not so clear what the Rambam says. There's clearly a Rashi. Maybe I'll read the Rashi first. There is a Rashi who explicitly says, I think it's very meduic in the words of the Rashi, that there's an Isur Daraisa by Rabbi Matza on Erev Pesach. So I'll read you the words of the Rashi. Davdala Amud Aleph. Look at the Rashi, Davdala Amud Aleph. Zibur Amaski Obein Rab Meir Bin Rab Yehuda. Two-thirds down in the, you see it? The Ifligu B'masnisin, there is a machlokas, and we'll discuss this mission. This is one of the topics I want to talk about tonight. Machlokas Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Min HaTorah, whatever, we just finished saying there's some Isurim. We're going to finish talking about whatever the Isurim are. But Midrabanan Chazal added Isurim. So, for example, everybody agrees during the 6 hours in Isur D'Rabanan not to eat chametz. What about during the 5th hour? So Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to eat chametz even midrabanan even during the 5th hour as a gzera. And Rabbi Meir says no, it's only during the 6th hour there's an Isur, but not during the 5th hour. Okay, so let's look at the Rashi. The Ifligu B'masnisim, I'm going to learn a machlokis in the Mishnah. B'harchaka da'avud rabanan le'oraisa. Chametz eino asur min ha'torah. Chametz is not forbidden min ha'torah until Chatzos, says Rashi, b'bal yura uba achila, and Rashi says explicitly, with respect to the Isra of bal yura, and with respect to the Isra achila, ela mishay shaus after Chatzos. But once Chatzos occurs, then Rashi says there will be an Isra d'oraisa regarding bal yura, and with respect to achila. Misha avru shay shaus ki dialef likaman, as the Gemara derives later on. And the Rabbanan, it's a machlokas, how far, but in the Rabbanan, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda disagree, how far back do we add? 5th hour, 6th hour. But Min HaTorah, it would only be applicable from the 7th hour, after Chatzos. And how do we know, says Rashi? Ki diyalif lekaman min ach chalak, from the words ach, u min lo tishkar al chametz. Now, if you look at the Gemara later on, the Gemara, which is on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, the Gemara, where does it say in the Torah, ah? Ah, tashbisu swami batekam. Right? Miyom arishon. So the Chumash says, you have to do tashbisu on the first day. Now the Gemara darshins that the word Yom Rishon means Erev Pesach, either from Ach or Rishon, whatever the drashas are in Dav Hei. So from the Ach we derive that the din of Tashbisu is Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So the question is, what has that have anything to do with Bai Rabbi Matzah? The Gemara never says anything about Bai Rabbi Matzah. The Gemara talks about Tashbisu. And Rashi says, oh, you know what? That's the Isra by Rabbi Matzah. So Rashi's Mechadesh, that the Isra by Rabbi Matzah is connected to Tashbisu. And once Tashbisu occurs in Erev Pesach, by Rabbi Matzah will occur as well. So therefore Rashi holds is a din of by Rabbi Matzah Erev Pesach. The Ravid says, no, they're not connected. Okay, so look, you just let me read the words of the Ravid here on the Isur by Rabbi Matzah. So this is in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perek Gimel, Halacha Ches. I'll read the words of the Rambam. So the Rambam says like this. Lefika, im lo bitel kodem sheish. You're supposed to do bitel and beer, all these things as part of tashbis. But if a person did not do the bitel, and you find chametz after chatzos, shahaya daitolav, which you knew about, v'haya belibo, v'shichko, and you forgot about b'shasabir, v'lo biru, ha'reza avar, alo yirah, v'lo yimatzah. So what does the Rambam say? If you find chametz, which you knew about, and then you forgot, and after chatzos, right? What did the Rambam say? Mishay shaos ulamala, right? He says, you're over by Rabbi Yamatze. So what do you see from the Rambam? That the Rambam agrees to Rashi, and he holds as an Issa Deraisa by Rabbi Yamatze, Erev Pesach. He didn't do bito, he didn't do beer, and therefore he's over. And now bito doesn't help. What does the Rabbit say? Amar Avram. Ulai sover zeh machaber shehu over b'shei shaos l'mala b'lo yirah b'lo yimatzeh. Maybe the Rambam thinks there's an Yisur d'oraisa by Rabbi Yimatzeh after Chatzos. Ve'eino kein, that's wrong. David Shivas Yamim Ksiv. The Rabbi is right. The Chumash says Shivas Yamim. But the Rashi and the Rambam both seem to say there's a dinner by Rabbi Yimatzeh Erev Pesach. So the question is, what's the pshat? The Rabbi is right. It says Shivas Yamim, right? So how can the Rambam and Rashi say there's a din of by Rabbi Matzah Erev Pesach? So the answer is like this. The Achronim explain, there is Makor Chaim, and other Achronim say that the lamdus of Rashi is as follows. That the lav of by Rabbi Matzah on the one hand and the Aseh of Tashbisu are linked. You know, Gemara Makos has a concept called lav hanita glase. You know what a lav hanita glase? Lav hanita glase is, for example, lo sosiru memenu ad boker. Don't leave the korban, the meat of the korban, the imurim, until you're supposed to burn them until the morning. And if you burn it, by esh tisrof. And if you leave it over, you should burn it. That's called lav hanita glase. You violate the, and you know you don't get malchus, right? Because lav hanita glase, you're in lokin law. So you violate the lav, and if you do it, the assay is misakin the lav, right? Then there's another concept called lav shekidmo assay. Lav shekidmo assay means that by doing the assay, you prevent the lav. Not that the assay comes to rectify the lav, but doing the assay avoids the lav. That's called lav shekidmo assay. For example, regarding shiluach hakein. So the pasuk says, "Lo tikacha eim alabanim." Don't take the mother bird while she's sitting on the nest. Shalech tishalacha eim v'abanim tikachla. Send her away and then take the kids. So it's a machlokis, Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda, whether that's alav hanita klase or it's alav shekidmo ase. Meaning, what is the proper way we're supposed to do it? Don't touch the mother bird. And if you do, then the tikkun is to send her away. Is that the pshat? That's lav hanita klase. Or no? Really, you're supposed to send her away. That's the asay. That's a lav shekidmo asay. And if you don't send her away and you just take the babies without sending her away, then you violate the law. So is the assay coming to prevent the law? That's called law shekidmo assay. Or is the assay coming to rectify the law? So you have examples where the machlokas, Tanayim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabban. Now, what about the tashbisu is the assay and the law is by Rabbi Matzah? Is this a law shekidmo assay? Rashi says, yes, it's a law shekidmo assay, which means what the Torah is telling you is the purpose of Tashbisu is to avoid the lav of by Rabbi Matzah. Destroy the chametz. How do you do it? Either physically or mentally, that's called bitul or beer, which is the fulfillment of the deraisa of Tashbisu. And by doing this Tashbisu, you avoid the lav of by Rabbi Matzah. And what does the Rambam say? If you neglected to fulfill this assay because you forgot about the chametz, so then you violate the law. But the purpose of the assay of Tashbisu is to avoid the lava by Rabbi Matzah. So it's a lav shekid moase. So therefore, the reason that by Rabbi Matzah exists Erev Pesach, because it's integrally linked, inherently linked with the Aseh of Tashbisu. Just like Tashbisu exists on Erev Pesach, so too by Rabbi Matzah have to exist, because they're two sides of the same coin. The Aseh is coming to prevent the lav. And it's only if you do not do the Aseh will you violate the lav. See, the Ran in the beginning of Psachim explains that when a person has a choice, he can do Bir or Bito. And when you do the Bito, you avoid by Rabbi Matzah. Why? Because of this Lamdus. Once you do the Aseh of Tashbisu, by definition there is no Lav. See, the question is like this. Let's say a person has Chametz and he didn't know about the Chametz. Right? And let's say the Ran says, if he does the Bito, so he fulfills Tashbisu and he doesn't violate. Let's say he doesn't do Bito, but he does the search, he searches for the Chametz, and he couldn't, you know, we search for Chametz, and you don't see the Chametz. And later on, he discovers he missed the spot. So did he violate by Rabbi Matzah? So the Ran says no. Because, why? Why did he not violate? I mean, he tried, but why is he not violating by Rabbi Matzah? The answer is because since he fulfilled Tashbisu, because he looked for the Chametz and he couldn't find it, so once you do the mitzvah of Tashbisu, then by definition you're not violating by Rabbi Matzah. Even though b'metzias the Chametz was there in his possession, but since he fulfilled the mitzvah, the lav doesn't exist. The definition of owning Chametz by Rabbi Matzah is not simply owning the Chametz. It doesn't mean owning the Chametz. By Rabbi Matzah means not doing Tashbisu.
But can you say he didn't do Tashbisu since he didn't find the Chametz?
Right, you could say like that. But the Ran says since he tried, what does Tashbisu mean? Does it mean actually getting rid of the Chametz? No. Tashbisu means trying to get rid of it. As long as he looked for it and he searched in the places that he knew about it, that's good enough to be fulfillment of Tashbisu. And therefore, once he's Mekayim Tashbisu, even though he actually owned the Chametz, he doesn't violate by Rabbi Matzah. You follow? Because it's a lav shekid moaseh. This is the yisod how we understand the Ran and the Rashi. And that's the famous Rashi in the beginning of the Masechta, because Rashi starts off, if you learn, turn to Dav Beis Amud Aleph. So Rashi starts off, Or l'arba asar, both kinas hachametz l'or hanea. So we do bedika. Why do we do bedika? So what does Rashi say? L'or hanea, b'gemar mefarish taima, botkin, shelo yavur alav, b'bay rabbi matzah. And Tosos says, what are you talking about? Look, you're going to have to do bito. And bito ba'al masagile. So how can you say the purpose of bedika is to avoid by Rabbi Matzah? Bitul accomplishes that. That's those discussion. So the Ran says what Rashi's talking about is on a deraisa level. You're right. Practically, if you have to do bitul, bitul will accomplish it. But on a deraisa level, you could do either one. And what Rashi is saying is by doing bedika, you're fulfilling the mitzvah saseh of Tashbisu. And by definition, you're not going to violate by Rabbi Matzah. You follow? Not because you will then find the Chametz and remove the Iser by not owning it. It's not a Metzias. The purpose of Tashbisu is that you find the Chametz, and if the Metzias, you destroy the Chametz, you obviously don't violate it because you destroyed it. That's not the Vort. According to Rashi, the Lamdus is, even if you own the, even if it's physically there, doesn't matter. What's important is that you do the mitzvah sasei Tashbisu. You look for it. That's called Tashbisu. I mean, in an honest way, not in a fake. You know, you're not, you know, just don't do a ceremony. But you really honestly looked in those places where you really think Chametz will be found. And you see that the Chametz is not there. You fulfill the Aseh of Tashbisu. Then by definition, you're not over by Rabbi Matzah. You follow? So that's the Lamdus of the Rashi. And I believe that's the Lamdus of the Rambam as well. So we spoke about the Isra of eating Chametz. We spoke about the Isra of possessing Chametz. And then Tashbisu itself, right, it certainly agrees to that, there's a din of Tashbisu. There are Rishonim that say even Tashbisu is the Rabbanan on Erev Pesach. So you have a whole spectrum of different shitas. So with that in mind, now let's talk about, we're going to talk about the Mishnah and Daf Yud Aleph of Machlokas Rav Meir Rabbi Yehuda. So let's learn the Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph. Mishnah says, Rab Meir Omer Ochlim Kol Chametz. We eat chametz during the fifth hour, because the din derabanan of not to eat chametz is only during the sixth hour. But the fifth hour is fine. V'sorfim b'tchila sheis. And once the sixth hour comes, not only you're not allowed to eat it, it's asabana, and therefore it's the time for straight. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochlin Kol Arba. Rabbi Yehuda says, you can eat up to the end of the fourth hour, but during the fifth hour, you're not allowed to eat it, midrabana. We're tolling Kol Chametz, which means we cannot eat it, but we don't burn it. It's not asabana. V'sorfim b'tchila sheis. So the burning has to happen until the sixth hour. And then the end of the Mishnah, Rav Gamliel Omer, I'm skipping. If you look at the end of the Mishnah, Rav Gamliel Omer, Kulin Ne'akalin Kol Arba. Kulin can be eaten during the fourth hour. With Truma Kol Chamesh. However, Truma is a split. He says Kulin is like Rabbi Yehuda, but Truma is like Rav Meir. Why? And Rashi, if you look in Rashi, with Truma Kol Chamesh, the Asr Lahapsit Kachim Biyadayim Kozman Shiachal Ochlan. During the fifth hour, you can eat it. So therefore, you cannot destroy Truma, and therefore you have to wait till the sixth hour. Now, if you look at the words tolim, what does the word tolim mean? So Rashi understands, if you look at Rashi, tolim means any chametz, whether Truma or Chulin, you wait. You don't eat it, but you don't burn it. The Rambam has a different way of understanding this Mishnah. So let's look at, I'll read you the words of the Rambam. Perek Aleph. Halacha Tes. I'm going to read Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. Va'asru Chachamim. I should start before. Asr le'achol chametz b'yomar v'asr mi'chatzos hayom mala, which is like Rabbi Yehuda. And I told you the Rabbi disagrees on that. And then the Rambam says, v'asr chachamim mid'rabanan, they said, le'achol chametz mitchila shashish. So mina Torah, you cannot eat from the seventh hour. And mid'rabanan, you cannot eat it from the sixth. Kidei shelo yiga b'yisur Torah. You get mixed up between the sixth and the seventh hour. So chazal asr during the sixth hour. Umitchila shah shishis yachametz asur b'achila ubahana kol shah shishis midivrei sofer v'shar hayom minatar. Then the Rambam says shah chamishis during the fifth hour in ochlin b'chametz gzeira mishum yom ha'mauna shema yita ben chamishis l'shishis ve'enu asur b'ana b'shah chamishis lefikach tolim b'truma v'lechem tolim. So how does the Rambam, this is how the Brisker Rav explains, how does the Rambam tie chop the word tolin? Tolin is referring to the truma. Rashi understands tolin referring to all chametz. You wait from the burning. Rambam says no. The reason Rabbi Yehuda says that you do not asur in eating truma, because if you were not allowed to eat it, then it would be a hafsid kachim. Therefore, we are allowed to eat truma during the fifth hour, because not to put ourselves in a situation of ibud kachim. See, Rashi says that only Rabban Gamliel holds of that svar, but Rabbi Yehuda doesn't believe in that. Rambam says that even Rabbi Yehuda says it's a problem of ibud kachim. Except Rabbi Yehuda says that you don't eat the truma, you just wait. So the question is, how is that avoiding ibud kachim? See, according to Rashi, you eat it, so it's not ibud kachim. But if according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't eat the truma either, so how do you remove this problem of ibud kachim by just waiting till the sixth hour? Do you understand the question?
A little bit, but it's still not mafsid b'yadayim when you don't have to.
I think that's the good, correct answer. It's still not mafsid b'yadayim. That is correct. So the Brisker Rav says, the Lamdas is like this. See, Rabban Gamliel says it is considered a problem, right? Because he holds even Gorim is a problem, right? But Rabbi Yehuda would say, as long as you don't do it b'yadayim, that's not called mafsid, right? So Reb Iskarov explains the lamdas like this. There's a fundamental difference between the fifth hour and the sixth hour according to the Rambam. See, during the sixth hour, see, the question is like this. What happens in the sixth hour? What do? You destroy it. So isn't that Ibud Kachim? Lamaisa, eventually you're going to burn the chametz. So you're going to burn the chuma. So why during the sixth hour not worried about Ibud Kachim? Okay, and what's the difference between fifth and sixth? Even midrabanan burning is not a problem Ibud Kachim during the sixth hour. Why is it a problem during the fifth hour? Why do I have to wait for truma and not burn it till the sixth hour? Because if you would catch him, all right, so during the sixth hour, you're going to do burn it. So what's the difference, fifth hour and sixth hour? So Reb Iskarov said there has to be a fundamental difference between the fifth hour and the sixth hour. During the fifth hour, he says it's not an Isur Chafza. He said you're not allowed to eat the chametz because of Gzeru Yom HaMeunon, but it's not an Isur Chafza on the chametz. But during the sixth hour, you see, Mina Torah Chametz is a Isur on the Chefetz of the Chametz during the seventh hour. According to the Rambam, it's an Isur Achila, right? So the Rabbanan said, Mid Rabbanan, the sixth hour is like a Kiyin Doraisa. It's an Isur Chefetz on the sixth hour. But during the fifth hour, it's a completely different Isur. It's not an Isur Chefetz on the Chametz, just you are not allowed to eat it. So if it's an Isur Chefetz, that's not called Ibud Kachim, because you're the chametz is already asur anyway, so that's not the ibur, because it's an isur chefza. It's only in the fifth hour, says the Brisker Rav, where it's not an isur chefza even on a derabana level. Would it be considered ibud kachim, because there's no isur chefza on the chametz. You see the difference. So according to the Brisker Rav, according to the Rambam, during the fifth hour there is no isur chefza on the chametz. Only during the sixth hour. This is what Rabbi Yehuda says. And you wait during the fifth hour because of Ibud Kachim, but that's not, you know, waiting is not a problem. Rabban Gamliel says even waiting would be a problem because it's Gorim Ibud Kachim. Rashi understands, no, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no problem of Ibud Kachim, even for Truma. Because Rashi says that even in the fifth hour, it's already an Isur Chafetz. See, this whole difference between the fifth hour and the sixth hour is only according to the Rambam. Rambam says fifth hour is not an Isur Chafetz, it's a separate Isur, because of Gzeru Yom HaMeunon. But in the sixth hour, it's a Kiyin Derais, it's an Isur Chafetz. Rashi doesn't go like this. Rashi holds that even in the fifth hour, it's already an Isur Chafetz, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no din of Ibud Kachim. Rabban Gamliel says during the fifth hour it's not an Isur Chafetz, and therefore there is a din of Ibud Kachim. Okay? So this is how to understand the Mishnah according to the way the Rambam understands it and according to Rashi. According to the Rambam, both Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda agree that during the fifth hour it's not an Isur Chafetz, it's only in the sixth hour, and it's only a question, is there a din of Gorim and Ibud Kachim? And according to Rashi, the Machlokis, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chacha, and Rabban Gamliel's Gufa, whether the fifth hour is an Isur Chafetz or not. Okay? This is the way, according to the Brisker Rav, how to understand this mission. Okay? Okay, so now, let's just see our Gemara. And the Gemara will quote our Mishnah, and then I'll discuss another Machlokis Mishnah. Okay, so let's start the second paragraph. So the Mishnah starts off. This was like background, introduction. Kol shah shemuter leachol, during the fifth hour, during the fourth hour, where you're allowed to eat the chametz, ma'achil lebehema, you're allowed to feed it. Now what about the fifth hour? This Mishnah is going to go like, not like Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to go like Rabbi Meir. Because the Mishnah says, anytime it's muter ba'achila, it's muter ba'hana. Now we know, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not true. Because in the fifth hour, it's mutar ba'achila and it's asur ba'hana. So this Mishnah cannot be go like Rabbi Yehuda. It has to go like Rabbi Meir. I'm sorry? Rabbi Yehuda holds, during the fifth hour, it's asur ba'achila and mutar ba'... What did I say? I made a mistake. It was a slip of the tongue. What I meant to say was, it's asur ba'achila and it's mutar ba'hana. Clearly, this Mishnah is saying not so. Because the Mishnah is saying, kosha, anytime, shemuter lecho, that you're allowed to eat it, machil, you're allowed to feed it to your animals. That's clearly Rav Meir. lebehem alachai ulaofus. Umochur lanachri muter banas. Avar zman. Once the zman iser starts, aser bana v'lo yasik botano v'kirayim. Rabbi Yehuda omer em biyorcham etzel asreifa. V'chachamim omrim af mefarer v'zor l'ruach ometi l'yam. Okay, that's a separate machlokas, how to destroy chametz. Fine. Let's start the Gemara. Kosha shemuter lecho machil. Hakosha she'ino muter lecho eino machil. Le'im masnisin d'lo ki Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. The ir Rabbi Yehuda ha'ika chamesh, you have a problem in the fifth hour. De eino ochel machil. Right? Ditnan. And that's the Mishnah we just learned with you. Rabbi Meir omer ochlin kol chamesh v'sorfin b'tchila shesh. Rabbi Yehuda omer ochlin kol arba v'tolin kol chamesh v'sorfin b'tchila shesh. V'lamai Rabbi Meir hi. The Mishnah must be like Rabbi Meir. Hai kol shasha mutu lecho machil kol shasha ochel machil mibale. Why does it say mutar? It sounds like they're two different people. When it's mutar for one person to eat, then another person is allowed to eat. If it's the same person, it should, instead of saying the word mutar, it should have said kol shasha ochel machil. Why does the Mishnah use the word mutar? Sounds like two different people. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabba Bar Ula Masnisin Rabban Gamliohi Rabban Gamliohi Omer Chulin Echalin Kol Arba V'Truma Kol Chamesh V'Sorfin B'Tchila Shesh. Meaning, there's a difference in Truma and Chulin. During the fifth hour, Chulin would be Asher to eat, but Truma would be Mutar to eat. So during the fifth hour that the Kohen is allowed to eat the Truma, the Yisrael is allowed to get the Hana. You get it? Rahi kamar kol shasha muter lecho kohen betruma Yisrael machil chulin lebehem lechay lofus, meaning the Yisrael is not allowed to eat it, but he's allowed to get the hana. Now the Gemara says lama lelumisni behema lama lelumisni chaya. Why mention both? Tricha diitana behema, that you're allowed to feed the chametz to your behema di mishare, because the behema doesn't hide the chametz. So if it leaves anything over, you'll see it, chazilei, and you'll destroy it. Aval chaya, but if a chaya, if you give it to the chaya, it could bury it or hide it. You won't see it, and then that would be a problem. Di mishaira kamatznalei, emalo. Then I would think I'm not allowed to feed it to the chaya because it would hide it. Kemash malan, you're allowed. The question is, what would be so terrible if it would hide it? Okay. The animal would hide the chametz. So why is that so bad? What will happen? You'll be violating by Rabbi Imatz, right? So kimash malan, you don't have to worry. Why don't you have to worry? Why not? Why is there no problem? We just finished saying there will be a problem by Rabbi Imatz. Why are we? What's the maskana? Why in the maskana we not worry about by Rabbi Imatz? Right? We have to understand that. So I think what we have to say is that we're obviously doing I don't know how to learn pshat. Why taka? Either you could say we don't have to worry about, you'll see it even when the chai is there, which is a dokeg, right? But the simple way of saying it is, see that the Rush, we'll see the Rush, how he learns the Gemara. The Rush says, you're going to supervise and you're going to watch it. I would think we would be worried that you'll miss it. Kimash Milan, we trust you that by watching the Chai, you'll make sure it doesn't hide it. That's how the Rashi learns this Gemara. But it's not the way the Rashi learns. Because, look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kosha, you see the in the end of the narrow lines? Kosha, sheyesh hatel l'shum adam, lecho, meaning a Kohen is allowed to, any person, that means even the Kohen, even the Yisrael, who is not allowed to eat it, is still allowed to feed it to his animal. Meaning Rashi has a chiddush. He says, If the chaya would hide it, you're not going to violate Bayura. You violate Bayumatze, but you won't violate Bayura. So what's mashma from the words of Rashi is that the Isur Bayra Bayamatze are not connected. Now the Achronim want to say, the Kesef Mishnah wants to say that the Rambam agrees to the opinion of the Rashi. Because, first of all, the Rambam counts it as two separate lavin. And from the language of the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he's medayik that they're not dependent. They're independent lavin. So the Rambam holds that Bayura and Bayumatzer are not Talei Zeh B'Zeh.
So is it possible to have Bayura without Bayura?
That's exactly what we're trying to say. That according to this Rashi...
I mean, is there such a case?
Well, that's what Rashi just said. That if the animal would, let's say, you would hide the chametz, so you don't see it, so there's no Yisr of Bayura, but there's still Yisr of Bayumatzer.
Right, I'm asking, is it possible the other way around?
Oh, the other way around, no. Because I don't see... Right, the only way I can see it is this way. To say that it's the other way around, I do not see how to do it. So, what's important from this Rashi is, obviously, we're talking about a situation where the guy's beetle didn't help. Correct? Because if you do beetle, there's no problem. You cannot violate Bayra Bayamatze with beetle. Right? So, obviously, there was no beetle, or the beetle was not sufficient. So the question is, so why in the Maskana does the Mishnah say you don't have to worry? You follow? So I think perhaps I want to say the following Kiddush for Rashi. There is a Machlokes Rishonim whether you could do Bitul on Chametz Yadua. So if we would say Rashi holds that on Chametz Yadua Bitul doesn't help, so maybe that was the Havamina. We start off with Chametz Yadua, the Bito's not going to help, this by Rabbi Matze. Kimash Malan, that when the animal hides it, that's not called Chametz Yadua anymore. And therefore the original Bito will be sufficient. So I think the pshat is like this. The man did Bito. He gives the Chametz to his animals and he's Mevatele. And then the animal will hide the Chametz. So the Chiddush, what the Gemara is teaching you is, that the beetle will work because once the animal hides it, it's called Chametz Sheini Yodua, and the beetle will help.
He's mevatel after the animal hides it?
I think the case is, right, that he is mevatel after he gives it to the animal. Right. You follow? You know, because especially as the language of the Rambam was, V'day to Allah. You know, Shnei Dvarim, the Gemara says, really Chametz you shouldn't violate because Aser Bana you can't own Yisrei Hana. But the pasuk says Shnei Dvarim Einu Bershusu Shaladim, you know, Bor Bershusu Rabim Chametz BePesach Vasek Asif Kilo Bershusu. The Rambam says V'day to Allah. What makes it in your Bershus is the fact that you had your das on it. When you give it to the animals, that's not called Day to Allah. The Havamina would have been it is Day to Allah because it's Yadua. But the Chiddush that the Mishnah is teaching you is that once the animal hides it, that's called Einu Yodua, and the beetle will be sufficient.
Because you don't know where it is?
Right, you don't know where it is. It hides it. How are you going to find it? You follow? So therefore, that would be considered to be why you're not over by Rabbi Amaz. So we have Machlokes Rishonim, whether you can separate by Rabbi Amaz or not. The Rosh clearly says you cannot. And the Ravid says you cannot. The Rambam and the Rashi seem to say you could. And I think, what is that machlokes? I think it's the following hasber. Do you say that the purpose of Bayra Bayamatze, as the Ran explains, is a harchaka doraisa? For example, we have examples of harchaka doraisa. For example, the Torah says that lo tikrufu legaros erva. So mina Torah, the real Yisur, is the relation itself. But as a way of archaka, not only you cannot have the actual relationship with the woman, but you're not allowed to even touch her and kiss her and do all these things. That's called lo tikrufu legalos erva. And the Rambam says that's an iser doraisa. So we call that a harchaka doraisa. Sometimes the Torah tells you an iser where the purpose of the iser is to stop you from violating another iser. You follow? So the Ran says that the purpose of Bayra Bayamatze is a harchaka doraisa. Why did the Torah tell you not to own the chametz? This way you avoid eating the chametz. It's a harchaka doraisa. So if you say it's a question of Archaka Doraisa, so then we can have gradations of different levels of how far you stay away from this Harchaka. So if you see the Chametz, it's a stronger Harchaka. If you don't see it, it's a weaker Harchaka. So we can separate the two. You follow? However, according to the Rosh and the Tosfos, who say you cannot separate, they say the idea of the Isser of by Rabbi Matzah is not a Harchaka from the Isser of Achila. It's a separate Isser, the Torah says, because of the Chomer of Chametz. The Torah says you're not allowed to own the Chametz. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference whether you see it or you don't see it. You own the Chametz, you're violating these Lavin. It's not a question of Harchaka from the stopping you from eating it. Okay. Now, the last point I want to get to is, let's discuss this machlokas, the Rosh and the Rosh. The Rosh says, you have to stand there and watch the Chametz to make sure what happens to the Chametz. Rashi says, no, once you give it to the Chulda, don't worry about it. It hides it, you're okay. Right? So what is that machlokas? Why is it Rashi is not worried what will happen? And the Rosh says, no, you have to supervise it. And if you don't supervise, it's not going to work. So I think the pshat is like this. It's Lishitasa. I said that according to Rashi, I showed you, Rashi throughout the Masechta, in the first parak, holds that Tashbisu and Bayra Bayamata are linked. So what does Rashi say? Rashi would say that Tashbisu is a form of Bayra Bayamata, right? It's a lav shekid maaseh, and when you properly do tashbisu, you avoid bayra bayamatzah. So over here, you did tashbisu because you were mavatel, so you avoid it, and then you gave it to the animal. The animal hides it, so you are mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisu, and by definition, you are avoiding the lav of bayra bayamatzah because you fulfilled. See, again, to avoid bayra bayamatzah, you don't need to b'metzias get rid of the chametz. You just need to technically fulfill the tashbisu. You fulfill tashbisu, you avoid by Rabbi Matzah. According to the Rosh, no, he's like Tosfos. The tashbisu and by Rabbi Matzah have nothing to do with each other. Tashbisu means physically get rid of the chametz. Avoid, destroy it, don't have it around. So if the chulda will hide it, it may still be there. That's not getting rid of it. Okay? So therefore, he'll learn that we're talking about he didn't do bito. And therefore, according to him, then the tashbisu is not going to help, because destroying the chametz by giving to the chulda is not going to really help here. You follow? Because he says that the tashbisu and by Rabbi Matzah have nothing to do with each other, while Rashi Lishitasa holds that tashbisu is a lav shekid maaseh. It's a way of avoiding by Rabbi Matzah, not because you physically get rid of the chametz, but because halachically we're mekayim the mitzvah. You follow? For example, there's another machlokas, what is bito? So Rashi says bito means afra. Have ki afra dara. Making it unimportant. Tosu says bito means hefker. You don't own it. So it's a lishitaso. According to Tosvos, you're not, when you do bito, You're not avoiding Bayra Bayamatzah. You're just technically saying that the chametz is not mine because it's hefker. So you're using a halachic legal trick to avoid Bayra Bayamatzah. According to Rashi, you are not avoiding anything. You are fulfilling the mitzvah deraisa of tashbisu, which by definition will mean that you're not over Bayra Bayamatzah. You follow?
So what I'm saying is cut off, or what does that do?
You let you fulfill the mitzvah of bito.
Nullifying
it. Right?
What does that mean when you say it's like cut off?
Right. No, the Torah says, make really chametz, you shouldn't violate chametz because it's asabana. But asa kasav kilo bershuso. So as the Rambam says, daitola. You have to show you don't want this chametz. So by doing the bito and by saying how unimportant it is to you, then you are not machshevet, it's like the opposite of achshevet, and therefore you remove the iser of bayra bayamatz.
The Torah doesn't put in your rishus.
Right. You follow? It's like, if you don't do bito, that's called achshevet. You're making it chash. And therefore you're violating the iser of bayra bayamatz. You follow? I mean, there's a famous Rashi. I'll quote you a very interesting Rashi just to finish this off. This idea of, you know, Akshavei. So the Rashi and Davhe, if you turn to Davhe Amud Beis, look at the top Rashi. Shema mina, I'll read the Gemara. Shema mina mid Rabbi Kiva tlas. Shema mina im biyorkam etzel esreifa. Vishma mina avar al chalek yatsa. Vishma mina lo min ho v'hutra avar otor hutra na mishlo otor. So what I want is the first part. Aim your comments, Ellis Rafe. Look at Rashi. How does Rabbi Akiva know that when the Torah says Tashbisu, it means Erev Pesach? Right? Because the Torah says, burn it. And he says, you wouldn't be allowed to burn on Yom Tov. So it must be Erev Pesach. That's what Rabbi Akiva svar is. So look at Rashi. Midulonafkele da Yom Rishon Erev Yom Tovu. Ela Mishum da Asur Lahavir be Yom Tov. From the only way, his only source that Tashbisu means Erev Pesach, because the Torah says burn it, and you're not allowed to burn on Yom Tov, so must be Erev Yom Tov. Svir like Rav Yehuda, he must hold like Rav Yehuda that Ein Birchama it's El Esreifa. Damel Kaman, Ein Birchama it's El Esreifa. V'yalef laminos, The ihesh besasa be called davar, because if you go like the chachamim, that you can destroy chametz by crumpling and throwing into the sea, the ihesh besasa be called davar svirale lukmi be yom tov. Let him say the mitzvah of tashbisu zan yom tov, and then you wouldn't have to burn it. V'yavarem davar yachar, you would destroy it some other way. Yachalenu leklavim or yashlichenu leyam, you just feed it to the dogs, right? So why wouldn't you be able to feed it to the dogs, right? So must be from the fact that Rabbi Akiva says that you cannot feed it to the dogs, right? Must be, right, he must hold that it's a din of Sreifa. Now the question is, see, there's a whole question on this Rashi, how Rashi could say, Rashi would be implying that if you do hold, that if it's on Yom Tov itself, you would fulfill Teshbisa by feeding it to the dogs, right? So I think there's a deal from this Rashi that Rashi holds this idea called Akshavei. There's a famous Rashi in Beitzah where Rashi says that you destroy Kachim, there's an Easter not to destroy Kachim, and if you feed the Kachim to the dogs, you're violating this din of the Ibud Kachim. So I think they're Mechronim on Medai, the Pnei Yeshua's Medai from the words of this Rashi, that by feeding to the dogs, you're fulfilling this din of destroying chametz. Because, see, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Ein bir chametz el esreifa, you have to actually destroy it. But according to the Chachamim, they say it's not a din in the actual chametz, you just have to get rid of it. So that's called akshavei. Even feeding to the dogs, you're showing how not important it is. But according to Rabbi Huda, that's not enough. You have to actually destroy the chametz. But according to the Rabbanan, even if you just show how unimportant it is to you by feeding to the dogs, then you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Tashbisa. So Rashi's theory throughout this whole Masechta is that the Tashbisa and by Rabbi Matar are linked, and it's a lav shekid moaseh. Okay? We'll stop here.